Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner. And on this episode today, we're going to dive into the changes to the college football playoff and what that looks like for the upcoming season in 2024. So this episode was actually recommended and suggested by a friend of mine who felt like it would be nice for, everybody to kind of get an understanding of what this means for the new season. And I feel like it's a great idea because I had to look this up myself just so I could kind of educate myself on the new format and what that means going forward. And then that way everybody kind of has an understanding, when they're making their futures bets, whether it's a playoff parlay or, things of that nature. You need to understand these stipulations and whatnot so you're not blindsided and you really can, form a strategy to make that work for you. So a couple of the biggest caveats is the automatic bids. The top five conference champions will get an automatic bid. So realistically, whoever wins the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12, those four are getting it. I don't really need to explain why. So the other automatic bid is going to have to come from the group of five conferences. Now, that is where it gets a little interesting, if I say so myself. And the reason is because it's going to be whichever one of those conference champions, so that'll be five, is ranked the highest in the college football rankings, college football playoff rankings. And, in years past, there was not really a consideration for that. Nobody was really looking close enough because you were like, okay, well, fingers crossed, we're going to hope that we get a New Year's Six Bowl, we're going to play in the Fiesta Bowl or something like that, and that's going to be the highlight of our season, right? So I'm not going to say that the committee didn't take it seriously when ranking those teams, but I'm going to say they didn't really take it as seriously. And I'll give you an example, okay? So last year, Liberty goes 13-0, and they, completely demolished the entire Conference USA from start to finish, right? And then SMU goes 11-2 and wins the American Athletic Conference. Now, Liberty was ranked 23rd, and SMU was ranked 24th. So if you applied that to this year, Liberty would make the playoffs. Now, I do not personally think that Liberty was a better team than SMU in any way, shape, or form last year, outside of the record. If they played on the field together, I think, that would have been shown. Now, the other, thing to think about now that we're going into this season is the committee going to have this bias towards a team like Liberty, okay? They ended up playing Oregon, and they just got boat raced, just ran out of the stadium, not even close. It was a snooze fest. Now, obviously, there's no shame in that because Oregon was really good last year. But is there going to be some type of bias towards that and be like, oh, well, maybe we should put in a Memphis or, South Florida one. Maybe we should put them in because they won the American Athletic Conference. Or, oh, here comes Boise State out of the Mountain West, So those are things to, consider, right? But more things than not, though, is you have to understand the viable path to winning one of those five conferences. So as I have touched base on every single conference in the past month and all my predictions, you have to understand that if Liberty goes 13-0, which I believe they will, if you have like South Florida, who plays a pretty tough schedule out the gate, they have Alabama and Miami. If South Florida goes like 9-4 and wins the American and nobody sees that coming, they are not making the playoffs at 9-4. That is not going to happen. I'd say at 10-3, they wouldn't even make the playoffs. So you have to understand that there has to be a viable path for these group of five teams to make it into the playoff. And with that being said, I don't really think there's a lot to choose from when it comes to those five conferences. And the reason is the teams that stand out to me, not to ruin any episodes, if you haven't listened to them already, you should listen to them, even if all you want to know is who I think is going to win the conference. But you should listen to it for the information and the breakdown. I have South Florida winning the American. I have Miami, Ohio winning the MAC. And then I have Liberty winning Conference USA. I have Texas State winning the Sun Belt. And I have Air Force winning the Mountain West. Now, with all that being said, there are only probably, I believe, that Liberty and maybe a Air Force or possibly Miami, Ohio have chances of breaking through into the playoff discussion. And the reason being is Liberty will need to go undefeated, right? But, you know, if they lose a game, they're probably not making it because their biggest game is Appalachian State. And if they lose that game, they're not getting it. Now, the thing is, even though I have South Florida winning the American, they have an extremely tough schedule. So they will need to win 9 to 10 games to probably make the playoff. And the flip side, also on the opposite side, is Miami, Ohio. Also, even though their conference schedule is not that tough, you know, they open up with 3 games that they could potentially lose. And, you know, 9, 10, and 3 might not be good enough, you know. And so you're going to have to get one of these teams that has a viable path to at least 10 victories. Because the darling to make, there's 2 teams that really stand out that pundits are picking to make the playoff out of the group of 5. That's Memphis and that's Liberty. And obviously, if Memphis runs the table and their only loss is Florida State, which they will lose to, no need to worry. If that is their only loss, they will make the playoff. I don't think they're going to – it's historically been – these are the teams that would have made the playoff since 2016. And you'll see a trend pretty much immediately. Western Michigan, UCF, Memphis, Cincinnati, Tulane, Liberty. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those teams would have came from the American Athletic Conference. And the reason being is that is widely viewed as the next best conference out of the power conferences. So that's one thing to think about, okay? Now, obviously, the top 4 ranked conference champions will get the byes. Well, we already know that the top 4 ranked conference champions are going to be from the Big 4 conferences. So there, you just push that right off to the side, okay? All right, and then after the 5 automatic bids, the next 7 highest teams will make the playoffs. Now, one thing that really stands out to me as a Notre Dame fan is that means that the best that Notre Dame can do is a 5th seed. They will never get a bye because they're probably never going to play in a conference as much as some of you morons want them to. You know, they're just not going to share that money. Now, why should they? So the thing is, that is a very interesting piece to me. So if you're taking Notre Dame to make the playoffs, understand that they are not going to be getting anybody. Or if you're taking them to maybe, I don't know, make the semifinals or win the championship, you know, if, you know, you're a masochist like me and you just really like, you know, crying yourself to sleep at night over the same team for, I don't know, the last 20 years, know that they're going to have a much tougher road than any other team, you know, and that's already at the outset. Now, the other thing is there is no limit to how many teams can be in the playoffs from any one conference. Now, I say that because you have, like, the SEC, for instance, has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, 8 of 16 teams that have a win total of 8.5 or more. Now, in previous articles and episodes, I've said that 10 wins in the SEC will more than likely solidify you a playoff spot. And I do believe that. Now, being that there's, you know, 16 teams, the tiebreakers and stuff like that, that's going to be the biggest part, right? And the committee will have to look at that. You know, if you have five SEC teams with 10 wins, I don't know if all five of them are going to make it, being that four of them would have to be at-large teams. So you just got to kind of, you know, take that with a grain of salt, right? And as you're walking down, you know, the rest of the conferences, you know, you have to come to the understanding that, you know, you have these other teams like Oregon, Ohio State, you know, Florida State, Clemson. You know, you have a lot of teams that could get to 10 wins. And that is something that I think is going overlooked when people are, you know, just writing in their team like, oh, my team's definitely going to make the playoffs if they get to, you know, if they get to 10 wins or something like that. Oh, they're in no matter what, right? And, you know, that's a great way to view it. But right now, as it is right now, there are 20 teams that have a win total of at least 9.5 or more. So I would say probably half to 15 of those teams will probably get to 10 wins. Well, you know, not just those teams, but I'm saying probably going to have about 15 teams that get to 10 wins or close to that, right? And you have to remember that whoever's coming out of the group of five is probably not going to be ranked in the top 12. They're going to be ranked lower, and they're going to be stealing one of those bids, essentially. So that's just something to think about going into, you know, into the playoff season. Now, obviously, you know, I'm not going to go over, like, where all the games are being played and stuff like that. You know, that's, you can look that up on Google and do that yourself. But the key is 5 through 8 will be hosting their first playoff game. So they'll be hosting it at home. So you have the chance to see some iconic matchups that you would not have seen before, you know, and I think that is not only great for college football, it's great for the fan bases, and it's great for, you know, just, you know, people in general, because it's always bowl games. We're always traveling to these nice, beautiful places where it's nice and warm, or we're in a dome. But I mean, you can't tell me that if you had, you know, a packed house at Notre Dame in the middle of December where it's cold and nobody wants to play, that that's not going to be entertaining to go to. Or if you went to Camp Randall in Wisconsin and they're doing the jump around in December in a game that matters, like, you're going to be tuning into that. Now, Wisconsin is not making the playoff this year. That is just an example. So, but I think, like, those are big deals. Like, or, like, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to see, you know, Alabama host a game in Tuscaloosa against a team they would never schedule in the non-conference? I think that's an incredible, you know, piece that's going overlooked amongst all of this in the format. Now, obviously, you could look up the bracket, which will make it easier for you to determine, like, how it moves in the seedings and stuff like that. But those are the basic premises of what's happening in the new college football playoff. And I think there are a couple of things that a lot of people need to really take into consideration, because if you have teams making the conference championship game and losing, but, you know, they got 10 or 11 wins, they're going to be considered ahead of teams who didn't make it. So, you know, it's even more pressure to get through these, you know, treacherous conferences now that are just littered with, you know, great teams all over. You know, there's not one of the big four conferences that I feel like is sewn up. Like, I mean, I like Oregon more than anybody else. But to say that, you know, they're going to dominate the Big Ten and not worry about that is a lie. Now, I think they're going to win the Big Ten, but I'm not sitting here cashing the check right now, you know. And I would say the same thing about Georgia. I'm not saying that about them either. I mean, they literally just lost last year in the SEC championship game, in a game they weren't really competitive in. So I think that's going to open up the landscape for a lot of people. So that's going to be it for today, guys. Just a little educational episode to kind of get us all up to speed on what we're doing. As always, I probably won't have a article correlating with this, simply because it was just a topic that a friend recommended, and I just wanted to chat about it a little bit. But I am going to have more content past the previews. And, you know, like we're going to look at Heisman stuff. We're going to look at, you know, some more coordinator, I cannot talk, some more data down the line, like offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator changes, things like that. So we're going to have some deeper, you know, denser topics that I really enjoy. I hope you enjoy them, because I'm going to keep doing them regardless. So, that's it for today. As always, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions or anything, feel free to reach out to me on my Twitter or at my email, themittnermethod@gmail.com. I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.